Hi everybody, and welcome to you as we forge ahead with our discussion of anything in the field of esotericism, anything that may be on your mind. No question is insignificant. From any question, we can find our way, hopefully, to something of importance, something that is a little bit illuminating. So I'm happy to welcome you all. And here on the staff, we have members of the faculty, and Brett is here, and Joe is here, and Sam is here, and also a couple of members of the faculty who are on the attendee list. BL, Allison is here, and Sheldon Hughes, and also Walter. And we'd like to welcome you, Constance. Hi. Maybe I can just kind of unmute you here a little bit and just make sure you're there. Hello, Constance. Can you hear me? Okay. Anyway, hopefully you can. Inta, hello. Are you there? Inta, hello. Hi. Okay, Karen Soper, welcome. And Mary Bell, I think what we need to do, probably after I talk to you, just put yourself back on mute. You can do that right up here in the next to your dashboard, where there's a little, maybe you have a green square, and it will put you on self-mute until you have something you want to say or ask or whatever, okay? So hi, Mary Bell. I'm trying to unmute you here, Mary Bell. Not doing too well here. Maybe one of the staff members can help us. Sheldon, hi.
Hello, Michael.
Good to see you.
Good
to see you here.
Good to be here.
Great. Excellent. Thiago, welcome. Saw you last at the conference. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, Thiago.
I'm here.
Nice to see
hi.
You. Very good. Very good. Okay. Victor, hello. Hi, Victor. Are we reading you? Are you good? Let's make, maybe.
Hello.
Table, Victor. Hi, Victor. Welcome, and Vera, welcome to you as well. Whoa! Okay. Yeah, okay. And Walter, hi, Walter. Welcome.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, good to have you here, Walter. And Yvonne, welcome to you. Welcome, Yvonne. Hi. Okay, well, I'll tell you what you do.
Hi.
You know,
I'm here too.
Barry, who's here too? Who's
Yvonne.
Here, BL?
Yvonne.
Oh, Yvonne, very good. Hi, Yvonne. Okay, welcome. Hi. So, look, just keep yourself on self-mute,
okay.
Because we have, you know, too much variety. You know, we're going to get a lot of echo. And then, when you have a question, or you know, if you type a question, Joe, you can see those questions, correct? You'll be able to pick them up and refer me
yes.
to them, I think. Very good. Okay, thank you.
Correct.
And so, because
and
sometimes I can't keep track of all of it. Some of you have sent in questions, and I'll try to address myself to that also. So, but generally, keep yourself on self-mute, and then there's this little thing where you can raise your hand. You know, and I can't show it to you, but it's about five in from the left-hand corner of your dashboard. Just put your hand up, and then I'll know you want to talk, okay? So, all right, here we go. And wait a second. Hi, VL. I just want to say hi to you, too, and welcome.
Okay. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Nice to have you here. Okay. I received some questions, but I'll hold off on those for just a little while. Before you, you see the Moria Federation logo, you know, and you may recognize here the Banner of Peace. It's a sort of Master Moria symbol, and the blue dot in the center is representing the solar logo, so the great love, wisdom ray of our solar system. Around it are 14 points or stars of illumination, and they represent the 14 schools to be in the coming centuries, the 7 preparatory schools and the 7 the 7 advanced schools. Eventually all of these will emerge. The interaction of the monad spiritual triad with the personalities represented by the 6-pointed star, it actually represents the monad. It is a symbol of that which occurs on the 6th subplane, the monadic plane of the cosmic physical plane. So the 6-pointed star is found everywhere, and it is an interplay always of 6 energies, and it has many applications. The star Sirius sits on top of the upper point, and around the rim are the 24 stars. They represent the number of Shambhala, which is 2 and 4, 24 together, and very interestingly it sums to 6 again, where the monad, which is always found within Shambhala, can itself be found. So there's a lot to look at here. All of the 7 rays are present in the various colors, and the 7th synthetic ray is right behind, and it is in the center behind the red wheel here. So all the colors are represented. The 7 rays, the major sources, Shambhala itself, and the banner of peace as well, which is the tribute, you know, to Master Moria, who is, you know, he's not on the 2nd ray, he's not on the education ray, but he is the head of all the esoteric schools and esoteric organizations. So his strength is underlying all that we do, and he helps disciples break their bonds, and of course we do have those things that seem to hold us back. So he does say on occasion, invoke me, and he means it, you know, if for unselfish purposes and for the purposes of getting the spiritual will into our energy system. Anyway, since I had the banner, since I had the Moria logo here, which was designed actually by my wife Tuya, and we consulted on that, and she has the visual artistic side, I thought I would just do a quick rundown on the meanings of the major parts. And Brett tells me that I once gave a lecture some time ago about the meaning of the logo, and that will be made available to you so that we can be inspired by it, I would say. Are there any questions on this logo? I know it's just kind of a pop thing that came up in front of you, but I oftentimes use it as a source of inspiration, thinking of the future of the esoteric schools and their direct inspiration by Shambhala. Okay. Now, are there any questions that you have? Now, don't be shy. It can be like anything. We can relate anything to the ageless wisdom. And I'm certainly not saying that I know all the answers. We have our fellow faculty members here who certainly can contribute, nor do we collectively know all the answers, but we can get a discussion going on some of these things and perhaps bring a little more light into the situation. That's what we're all after here. This is an educational organization, and we are seeking the light of the soul, the light of the triad, and eventually the blazing light of the spirit itself. It can't all be done in one life, we know, but it can be done, and we're on our way. That's the point. Okay, so is there anybody who has a question you would like to ask? You can raise your hand, or you can type it in, and Joe will see it, and I can address myself, and we can address ourselves to whatever you'd like to ever discuss. You know, from your work, from your the courses in which you are enrolled, things that came into your mind, and so forth. We can just use anything as a point of departure. So be brave, and let's hear from you. Aha, okay. So let's, Victor, I'll unmute you, and you go ahead, Victor. What's on your mind?
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Recently I've had my aunt died of cancer, And I've got a cousin with her husband has cancer. So my question is concerning esoteric healing. I read recently, well, a couple years ago, Alan Hopkins' book on esoteric healing. And I've studied that to some extent. But I'd like to know what your view is on working on cancer, and I'm sure other people have many other diseases. What method should we use? Should we use the triangles or some other method?
I think that before jumping into the triangles and the manipulation of energy through magnetic healing, the radiatory method, which is based upon the energy of love and is the expression of the aura of the healer or the healing group, is the way to go. I would not, at our present stage of understanding these things, begin with direct manipulation. There is now, Nicole would know more than I. I think in the esoteric healing book, the protocol, does anybody know this, is found, I think, around page 101 of the esoteric healing book. There is a beautiful protocol, and it's very simple. And that's what I would begin with. I'm not sure it's on 101. It's in this area. And it has to do with radiatory healing. It is, here it is. Here it is, Victor, right here. Page 103.
Okay.
And this protocol, which goes on for about a couple of pages, is the one to use at first, unless you are a well-trained esoteric healer. You know, the various 10 laws and 6 rules of healing can be used, and it is possible, when you really know what you're doing, to link the center in your own etheric body with the center where there is difficulty in the individual, if it is localized, and then link with the soul, a triangle being made, and the attunement of your own center to the center in the ailing individual will bring about a condition of balance. But it might be premature to dive into those specific rules. I would use this protocol. I would bring a group together to help with that, and I would use the radiation of the soul. There is also, you know, the use of the Ajna Center here with the hands in front of the Ajna Center. It talks about how to do this, and I think that is the safest method because, you know, there is in the esoteric healing, I'll show you what I mean, it cures disease. Or, I guess there's 5 of those. Here it is. This is rule 1. And this is why we have to be so careful. The healer must seek to link his soul, his heart, his brain, and his hands. Actually, it's not, it shouldn't be rule 1. It should be, it's more like rule 5 in a different context. Let me just check this out. Okay. Here it is. Okay, I just want to, here it says rule 1, but elsewhere it calls it rule 5, okay? Probably it has to do with the way the Tibetan is numbering things, but here is the magnetic work. The healer must seek to link his soul, his heart, his brain, and his hands. Thus he can he pour the vital healing force upon the patient. This is magnetic work. And here is the point. It cures disease or increases the evil state according to the knowledge of the healer. So caution is advised before getting into the manipulatory phase of esoteric healing. But what is said next under Rule 5, and probably you know it, the healer must seek to link his soul, his brain, his heart, and auric emanation. And this is the protocol, you know, around 103 of the book or so that I showed you, according to auric emanation. Thus can his presence feed the soul life of the patient, This is the work of radiation. The hands are needed not. The soul displays its power. The patient's soul responds through the response of his aura to the radiation of the healer's aura flooded with soul energy. And that's what I would suggest at first. If one has the inner sight, one can see where the miasm is and where the congestion is, and one uses the creative imagination to see the freeing of the areas involved. But the soul radiation of love is the key thing. If you look right down here, you see that the healer or the healing group must keep the will in leash. This is rule 6. It is not will that must be used, but love. So I don't know how proficient you are yet in esoteric healing. I suppose there are very few of us who really are proficient in that. But this is the safe way. And of course, the blessing of the person I'm contacting soul to soul is the way to go, as is given in the protocol. We know that cancer is the result of a concentration of energy under the first ray, a suppression of energy, and sometimes visualizing the free flow. I think Bernie Siegel, he was a doctor, he used the imagination to see the amelioration of disease, and he did get good results. So that's what I think I could say about that for the moment. Otherwise, you know, in the courses themselves, we will be dealing with esoteric healing, but you have an immediate emergency. So I think that's the way to go with the help of a group. And maybe you can recommend the people who need this help to the healing group that we have with Nicole and Kay and Leone and Jeremy. I'm not forgetting anybody. Leah, a few of our group in the Maury Federation have a healing group, and perhaps they can help as well.
How do I reach those?
Oh, how do you reach them? Well, that's really easy. maybe Brett or Joe, could you send
I will relay that your information. I'll follow up with an email to you, and I'll relay the information to Kay and Nicole.
Very good. Okay, that's a start, Victor. Okay. That's a start. You know, obviously we all wish we could be of immediate usefulness, but Master DK himself is going to be one of the externalizing masters. He's going to teach esoteric healing, and he says right now we know so little about it. There are so few real esoteric healers, but we can begin to learn, he's telling us. So we do the best we can. We've been given ample instruction, and when the energy of love and the imagination is consecrated to the task, and sometimes a group does the work, some remarkable things can happen, provided the karma of the individual allows. This is very important, because we don't know what the soul's plan may be, so we cannot go in there and fix things if the will of the soul is otherwise. Okay.
I appreciate that. That kind of falls in line as to what I was getting during my meditation.
Good. Exactly. Well, you know, we are esotericists in training. We have some lives ahead of us to master these energies and wield them in a way that can be truly constructive. We will start. That's all we can say. We start and we do our best. And the lives will give us what we need as they elapse. And, you know, by the end of the Aquarian Age, maybe we're all going to really know what we're doing. This is the great hope.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet, Victor. Okay, let's see. Walter, you had your hand up, and then Yvonne. So go ahead, Walter, please.
Hello. I had a question concerning the masters that we work with who are frequently referred to by abbreviations like M, KH, DK, and even R. And I just had a simple question. Is there a reason for that beyond just quickness in speech or writing, or a reason to not call the adepts by name?
I think none of the none of those names are representing the deeper names that they have. But Master Moria tells us we have to be very careful about calling out the names, lest we distract the attention, lest we send out a vibration which is interfering. I think abbreviation is part of it, but I also think it's a question of respect and distance when referring academically to these greater beings. But if one were truly invoking for purposes of the plan, the master involved, I think the name can be used. And as I understand it from Agni Yoga, to call three times is the effective way to reach. And that as well applies to getting in touch with the soul of any individual. The name is called three times. But we have to, as I say, know what we are doing and have a selfless purpose. We are not, well, you know, when it comes to dealing with other disciples and individuals, we're not trying to force anyone to do anything. It's a question of establishing rapport. The master will also give methods of contacting him to those who are on the thread. What those methods are, you know, are probably not up for discussion. Everyone will realize that in his own consciousness when it is possible to do so. So to use a name like Moria, Kutumi, Jwalkul, Rakotsi, you know, Hilarion, whatever, I don't see any reason not to, except in the literature when these masters are being discussed in a more academic way, I think oftentimes the abbreviation is there simply for the purpose of expediency and also not to interfere. That's my impression of it. Okay, did you have any further thought on that, Walter?
No, thank you very much.
Okay. It's, you know, I'm not saying that. Any member of the faculty have an idea here with regard to the master's name? Master's name, you're most welcome to speak, you know, if you wish to. I mean, sometimes, you know, in my own work, you know, Master Moria says, invoke me. Okay. Well, it's not his real name in a way. It's a name by which he recognizes, nor is Jwalkul the real name either. There are other and deeper names which will be revealed to us as we go along. But whenever we're attempting to invoke the master, it really has to be for the work. And it's we cannot invoke for strictly personal emergency. If it has something to do with the larger plan and we're looking at ourselves as an instrument here, which is needed in the plan, then the invocation is certainly possible. And Master DK himself, he said to some of his students, said, you'd be surprised how many times I have noticed your condition and intervened to raise your energy. I've noticed your deep fatigue, etc., and I was there to help you. They also know when they can assist, and I'm sure it is measured what they do. So selflessness is the key here, I would say. Okay, Walter. Now, Ivan, yes, your thought. Please go ahead. You can unmute yourself.
I just unmuted myself.
Good,
Alan Hopkins
yes.
Came. Okay, he came to the Seven Ray Convention a couple years ago and did the course on esoteric healing. And for Victor, I wanted to tell him when my granddaughter was in renal failure and needed a kidney transplant, I had Alan do a series of healings on her. And he did them distance healings from England, and it was very worthwhile. So I might suggest that to him. Also, I have an esoteric healing group in Pittsburgh, and we meet once a month, and we can do distance healings, or we, you know, read the book and we do distance healings. But I think that's really great what you said. Remember, the soul has an agenda. The end result, what the soul wants, you know, may be for the person to die. So, like you said,
it's also, you'd be surprised in some of these healing formulas. Of course, you're familiar with it, where part of the healing formula at the end is to provide release for the soul. In other words, part of death is considered to be an aspect of healing. And there are seven profound healing healing mantras or paragraphs. I want to point to something here. Maybe I can find it and you'll see what I mean. I am worthy. I am worthy of that aid. This is the first ray healing formula, first ray technique. So, you know, these DK did not give us the meaning. He says you work this out for yourself. This is the first ray technique. It says in a certain place here, the highest then awakens. This is about invoking the monad. The highest then awakens within the one who knows and within the one who must be healed, and thus the two are one. This is mystery deep. The blending of the healing force affects the work desired. It may bring death, that great release, and reestablish thus the fifth, the third, the first, but not the seventh. So here, death is part of the first ray healing technique. That's why we have to be so cautious and really know that it's indicated. The second ray healing technique, profound stanzas, at the end it's, let's see if I can find this. Yes, two energies achieve this consummation, and the three whose number is a 12 respond to the greater 12. So he's talking about here the 12 within the egoic lotus, the 12 in the head center, and the 12 of the heart. These are the three whose number is 12. And then he says, the life is known, and the years prolonged. So in this case, death is not part of it as part of the second ray technique. But if we go down here to the fourth ray technique, it works with sound particularly. And he educates the listening ear of him who must be healed. And here's the point, again, about departure. He likewise trains the listening ear of him who must go forth. He knows the manner of the sound which brings the healing touch, and also that which says, depart, and thus the work is done. And so, again, the healing may result in death. And who are we to say that it should? We have to know a lot more before we can successfully use these formulas. And thus it is with the fifth ray technique also, and the sixth ray technique. And I'm not sure about the seventh ray technique. I'd have to review. Yes, here it is. Even the seventh ray technique. It's talking about using the chakras. All seven must be used. And through the seven there must pass the energies the need requires, creating the new man who has forever been and will forever be, and either here or there, which again indicates departure. So the second ray technique is more the one that doesn't exactly release, although there probably would be a way of doing so. All these other techniques have the method of creating death as an aspect of healing. So caution, caution is advised, and humility, of course. So Yvonne, maybe you want to get in touch with Yvonne's group, as she suggests. Or, you know, the group here in the Maury Federation can help. And maybe you want to call Alan Hopkin and see what he can do at a distance, because, of course, Master Moria says distance healing is so effective that even the bed in which the sick one is found will shake. You know, that's how effective it can be. That's how powerful it can be. Okay, Yvonne, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell Victor that Alan's email is on the back of his book, and he was very helpful, and it was not expensive, like $50 a healing, and he did it once a week for about 12 weeks. And my granddaughter had a transplant when she was 6, and she's 8, and she's fine now. Everything went
well. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So maybe send to Victor's email address, Yvonne.
Okay.
Or have or send it into Joe or Brett, and they can send it to Victor. One way or another, let Victor know how to reach Alan. As a matter of fact, you know, maybe we can have him at the conference again next year. I'm kind of wondering. You know, it's a seventh ray conference, and whenever we have the seventh ray conference, the subject of healing is in the air. So you give me an idea that maybe we should pursue that. All right. Are there other questions that you may have? Okay, I'd like to welcome a couple that have just come in, and maybe, you know, I've been busy talking, so I'm not sure. But hi, Paul. Welcome to you. Nice to see you here. And Nolene, welcome to you. Okay, hi. Okay, Nolene.
Okay, hi.
Okay. We got the echo. Okay. All right. Other questions that you may have? either, you know, speak them out, raise your hand, or write them, and Joe can field them and send them to me. Anything that you would like to discuss, anything at all, you know, be brave, be brave. It's, I know how we sometimes think, you know, it's a little intimidating, and what do I know? Well, I will say that to myself anyway. What do I know? You know, I mean, if one compares one's knowledge to that of Master DK, you know, what does anybody know? But then he compares his knowledge to the Christ, or to the Lord of Shambhala, or to the planetary logos. So, you know, it's all relative, really, and we have to learn to inquire the way, to ask the right questions. Of course, the major way of inquiring the way is to ask the questions of oneself and of one's own intuition. Actually, the word intuition means, you know, tuition means teaching, doesn't it? So it means the inner teacher, access to the inner teacher, the intuition. And finally, that source is the source that will answer our major questions. But of course, the master and other initiates and other disciples can help along the way. Okay, there we go. Okay, Vera, yes, I have your one. I have your big question, okay. Vera, but what else? What else do you have?
No. I saw that my question didn't reach you, so that's fine.
Oh, your question has reached me. So as long as you have raised your hand, this is the question from Vera. The second ray is the primary ray in our system. Well, I would call it the soul ray of our solar system. Maybe sometimes when you use the word primary, it, you know, it has to do with the monad. So, and it may be as well one day that the monad of our solar logos will emerge as the second ray. Right now, it may be the fourth ray, but there's always a major monadic ray and a minor monadic ray. So you might be right about the primary as well. But anyway, it is a major ray in our solar system, and it manifests in two streams as a wisdom or love ray. I would like you to shed more light on how the love stream manifests through the different rays. It's a big question, of course, and you know, it's like a book or something. Anyway, specifically the quality of compassion, which of course means that you have the wisdom to understand the life circumstances of anyone who is living in the three lower worlds. So an examination of the form is very needed for the application of compassion. It's maybe not exactly pure love, but it has a deep understanding of the evolutionary process. I know you say that it's not meant to be just a cozy feeling. Okay, many thanks, Vera. So what I've pulled out here is a quotation from page 518 of Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2. And it's really, you see, because what we may not realize is that not only are there two aspects to the second ray, there are three aspects to the second ray, and even, in a sense, possibly seven aspects to the second ray and to all the major rays. But you know, that would take care of the 49 ray aspects. You know, this number 49 is really important because there are 49 rulers of the 49 subplanes. There are 49 expressions of the seven ray energies, and there are 49 expressions of some kind of first ray energy we call the spirits of darkness. Not much is said about that because it's really beyond us. But right here on page 518, maybe I'll put that down here. 518, Dyna 2, 518. And this whole thing is nested in instructions to a disciple by the name of ISGL. That's his, he had to learn illumination and stability and group love. That's what it counted. That's what his initials meant. And he was a sixth ray soul who was supposed to be transferring to the second ray, and he had a lot of first ray in his system. He had first ray personality, first ray mind, first ray physical body. It's huge, right? And probably, from what I've been able to intuit about it, he had also a first ray monad. So DK said he had driven himself to the periphery of Master Maurya's ashram, but it was premature and he had to really get more second ray going before he could be allowed to do that. But anyway, DK talks to him about entering into Shambhala. And this is what he says. Those upon the second ray fall, as you know, into two groups, generally speaking. And then look at this. There are naturally numerous exceptions. So there's a lot more division that is possible in these rays than we know, but it gets pretty refined. When we start entering the ashrams, let's say the second ray ashram, we will find that there are seven expressions of the second ray ashram, and almost all of them are organized. Only one of them right now is not fully organized. It's the most advanced ashram in terms of its manifestation and externalization, and many of us are part of that general stream. So there are seven sub-rays, but and one of them, of course, is the second ray itself. Such souls on the wisdom aspect of the second ray go to Shambhala and join the great council in some capacity or another. So they have some kind of first sub-ray operating in their soul. Such a one was the Buddha, because he was the Lord of Wisdom and also the Lord of Light. And the Buddha at the present time emanates from Shambhala, and you know, coming forth at the Waisak Festival, we are told, his focus at this time is Shambhala. He's on the wisdom line, and he had a first-ray personality, we are told, and a sixth-ray mind, and he comes forth from Shambhala, according to the story, for 8 minutes every year to bless the hierarchy and humanity. Now, so that's the wisdom line. Now, this is interesting. Those on the love aspect of the second ray tread one or other of the various paths, primarily that of the world savior. So that's like a two sub two. They become the divine psychologists and world teachers. The Christ combined in himself all these three great traits. So he was a savior, psychologist, divine psychologist, and world teacher. That's the second sub-aspect. And we would think, okay, we just let it go at that point. That's it. There's wisdom and there's love, and then we start to check it out. And if you have taken the personal identity profile, number two, PIP number two, you have seen that we have attempted to divide the rays into two aspects, an A and B side. And when we do that for the second ray, the A side is the love side and the B side is the wisdom side. The wisdom side corresponding more to ray one and a sub-ray of the second ray, and the love side to the pure expression of the ray. But now he goes further, and this is something that is very important for us to note. Those in this second group of souls upon the second ray likewise fall into two groups. Okay, they follow the way of specialized detail and of a comprehensive inclusiveness and are the outstanding occultists. And we call this the C side, or the third ray side of the second ray, and it's very much like what DK does. Specialized detail, comprehensive inclusiveness, meticulous entirety, the outstanding occultist, and Master DK, on the third aspect of the second ray, is teaching this kind of detailed occultism. The other group is distinguished by pure love. It's pretty obvious. It's, you know, it's the New World religion part of the second ray. Of the group that finds its way into Shambhala, a developed simplicity will be found to govern all relations. So three aspects of the second ray, wisdom, love, and meticulous entirety or specialized detail. Now maybe many of us who work in the occult area, we may actually feel a connection with this specialized detail approach, and the three parts of the second ray can be so different from each other in expression that you might fail to recognize that these three types are actually all all on the same ray, and that's what the subrays come in. Okay, so the question was about, you know, how does the love aspect particularly work? We'd have to meditate on this, but on what Rick Good and I have been working on a test we call the TARA test, T-A-R-A, TARA, Transpersonal Astro-Rheological Analysis. So it's transpersonal T, astro-rheological A-R-A analysis. And in this rather large test, we attempt to help you position your rays in all the vehicles, including the subray of your soul, including the two rays of the spiritual triad, which people don't think about very much, but they exist, and including, at least my hypothesis, the two rays of the monad. So, you know, you might want to go to the PIP2 online. It's called www.pip2online.com, and there you have the chance to take the PIP2, and after that, the TARA test, which will take you, you know, 3 weeks of your life, I can tell you, because it is really like a course of study, and you have to think very deeply. But I went to the test that I created here, and I was looking at the way I had considered the monad and its sub-qualities. So this doesn't say love particularly, but at least it's the second ray aspect of the first ray. And I connected it with what I call infallible realization of the absolute, all-embracing divine synthesis. You know how synthesis is one of those factors that relates to the second, to the first ray. But when you're looking at the first ray as a whole, it's more the second sub-quality that relates to synthesis. Now, obviously, when the love energy is operating, the person is going to express power always with sensitivity and the sense of inclusiveness so that the power does not damage the form too much. All the ray lords say to the first ray lord, hold off, don't destroy us yet, we have work to do, wait until we're completed, and then you can apply your power which may destroy the form. So it's a combination of love and will for the first ray. Now, as DK said, for the second ray, it is pure love, the second subray of the second ray, the all-saving compassion of the heart of divine love. That's how I put it. I'm putting it in somewhat monadic terms, but you can spiral it downward into the soul, and you can still get the same idea. Now, compassion is involved when you've gone through something that other people are now going through. You know what it is because you've been there, and your whole energy system magnetically responds to the pain of the other individual because you have been in that position. So it's very much pure love. Now, when we come to the, now I know Joe, my friend Joe here on the faculty, she asked me, well, now why don't you do the same thing for the wisdom part of the second ray? And I thought to myself, well, let's take care of love first, you know, and then maybe we can deal with the wisdom side as well. If you get into the TARA test, you will see how meticulous I have been, you know, meticulous entirety. That's my angle on the second ray. My angle is not pure love, it's not pure wisdom and austerity, it's the meticulous entirety and all this detail. So the way I function is on the third sub-part of the second ray. Here we have the ray of creative intelligence and what I call it revelation within the brilliant unifying light of divine omniscience, of divinely intelligent interrelationship. You can find this on the TARA. And basically there is a union of the realization of the plan and the cohesion that is necessary. In order to bring the plan forward into expression, the energy of love is used. You find a lot of philanthropy here because the people on the third ray, they know how to manipulate energy, including the energy of money, and they have the heart that goes along with it. So they want to take this flowing golden substance of money and they want to give it in pure love to others wisely. Now, let's just say we never can separate love from wisdom, right? So if you have too much love and you're
my God, lost you a little.
Oh, lost me. Oh, okay. Well, I'm having fun talking to myself then. All right. There will be a recording of this. How long have you lost me?
Only about 30 seconds, maybe at the most.
Oh, I gave the secrets of initiation in that 30 seconds. Oh, darn. All right. Sorry. All right. So anyway, it's a combination of intelligence and love together. So the ability to just tell me when I'm lost, okay? I mean, I wish somebody would tell me. Okay. So the ability to manipulate energy followed by the heart. In other words, giving the product of that creative intelligence, which is oftentimes knowing what to energize through money, giving it abundantly. So philanthropy comes in here. You know, obviously, maybe you, I don't know if you've read my book or not on the seven rays, Vera, but the tapestry, it deals with this stuff, you know. It's in there.
Okay.
Yeah. You can get it off of Makara if you don't have it. You can just go to www.makara.us and the books are there. You can download them and you can read. Now, when the fourth ray is involved, either the monad or the soul, we have divine harmony and beauty and love combined. So the old saying that beauty is truth and truth is beauty, that's all that ye can know and all ye need to know. So there is the sense here of creating harmony, which is the major objective of the fourth ray soul, through the power of love. So if there's enough love released in the form of goodwill, the divine harmony, which is reflected on the Buddhic plane, will be made apparent to the consciousness. On that high plane of Buddhi, all things are in pure interrelationship of pure reason. And when love is expressed, it draws the energies into that particular configuration. Also, the person may wish to teach the arts. There's so many things that can be said about this, but I'm just giving you the general idea, you know, because it's a huge question. You could write a book about your question. When the fifth ray is the monadic ray, or let's say the soul ray, we're dealing here with the revelation of light, supernal, and divine knowledge. Now, what's very interesting, we're told that love reveals. The fifth ray type is always very curious to know more about the garment of God. And when and that garment is not just on the outer level, it's also the matter on the inner level. Now remember, all this is being recorded, so you can review this later if you want to. And this whole idea of bringing intense light, the most luminous of the ray lords is the fifth ray lord. And the most luminous type of soul is the second ray soul. So just imagine getting these two rays of intense light together. Light reveals, or rather love reveals. When we love enough, we know. So this is the way to lovingly apply exact knowledge to preserve the unity of things and right relations and the flow of love between all things, because you have exactitude of knowledge. It's a very lighted combination. And remember, if you love, you see. That's what they try to tell us. If we love enough, we see. Now, when we get to the sixth ray, we have the sixth ray monad minor or sixth ray soul. And we have a second, or the love ray is working through the sixth ray. We have an ecstatic, mystical union with divine, all-inclusive wholeness. So, you know, ecstasy is the quality of the sixth ray, and a great all-inclusivity, a loving inclusivity. So we feel the ecstasy of divine love. This is what it boils down to. And many of the mystics came in on this part of the, this kind of combination. Quite a few of these mystics were actually sixth ray monads, or sixth ray souls. And then when they have this, you know, St. Francis, a very strong combination of the sixth ray and the second ray. The main point is the ecstatic union with God, but the inclusive love and the embrace of all things are part of this ecstasy. So one's highest ideal ends up being to express love and maybe love wisdom as far as that goes. See, love is a little bit more abstracted than wisdom. Wisdom deals with the proper application of energy to the form. And, you know, to use the form wisely in the expression of higher intentions. Love is the cohesive, magnetic, cohering factor which holds all the forms together and is more abstracted than is the strictly wisdom side. As far as the meticulous detail, we could go through every one of these and say, this is how this meticulous knowledge would be used under these different rays. Finally, we reach the seventh ray, monad, minor, or the seventh ray, soul. And this is the divine ritual based on loving cohesion. Nothing is done in a ritualistic manner unless it promotes the energy of cohesion and love, loving relationships. So the new rituals that will promote right human relations in the field of love will be emerging. So you see why I said, Vera, that it's like writing a book. Your question is like that. Basically, what I've done just now is I've taken every ray type from its monadic or soul perspective, and I say, what happens when the ray of love is the subsidiary ray to that particular ray? And in my book, the Tapestry book, I've done this for the souls. So, you know, I've done the combinations. So maybe you can find that. Do you have any further questions of that rather lengthy explanation? Am I getting at what you want?
What are you? Yes. And more. I got more what I bargained for. And because my mind sort of is still working on that more separative way, like the teasing things apart, and I needed to somehow bring it together.
Yes, that's one of the factors of the Jupiterian second ray. It's the force that brings all things together. Of course, to tease things apart is very important because then you can focus your consciousness on the precise nature of every tiny aspect so you see it with clarity. So when you bring it all together, it's not just a big mess, it's an articulated unity, an articulated synthesis. So I think the fifth ray should be used often in a preliminary manner and then bring all things together once there has been a clarification of the parts and their relationship, causal relationship to each other. Anyway, you know, it's a long study. We're studying the seven rays. When you study the seven rays, it comes in under the great second ray. When you study astrology, it comes in under the great third ray. When you study the rays, that kind of knowledge comes in, it's a simplification of astrology, it comes in under the second ray. And eventually, you know, the first ray is the simplification of it all, the way of divine simplicity and synthesis. So let me just put it like this, Vera. The power of combination is a very important thing to develop. It's like in the chem lab, you know, you have two elements, and what type of molecule do they make when they are brought together if they are sufficiently interactive? This is what we're doing with the rays. And when it comes, you know, I've tried to do this a bit on the tarot test, and I've done it a lot in the book. So learn how to put two with one, two with two, two with three, two with four, two with five, and so forth. Learn what happens in the molecule that results when two ray energies are put together and the way they modify each other. And, you know, if you just start to think about it, it will become a little obvious. Like, for instance, give you an idea here. I've got some supplemental material here on the sub-rays of the soul. It's in the tarot test, too. So if I was, you know, let's just say, suppose I was in group two, and what is it? Yes, my major purpose of my second ray soul, let's say, focused in the light, love, and power of the soul, and in full cooperation with the divine plan, my sole purpose is to offer love, wisdom, compassion, teaching, and luminous understanding of the divine energy patterns within the divine whole. Now, here it comes. Through the instrumentality of spiritual will and dynamic spiritual power of the leader, enunciator, destroyer, so that the good, the beautiful, and the true may manifest upon the earth. In other words, what I've done here is I've taken every soul ray. And I've said, how is it modified if there's a sub-ray of a different ray? So here is 2 sub 1, the next one is 2 sub 2, 2 sub 3, 2 sub 4, 2 sub 5. So, you know, just go into the tarot test, mm-hmm. and you can even study these things. And, you know, just even if you don't want to take the test, you can study it. And you can see how the combination will work out. Now, every one of us has a soul sub-ray. We have it. It may not be all that strong yet. We may not be into the ashram that will allow us to express it. But it's going to come. And that soul sub-ray is already built into us. Now, in my opinion, Master Kutumi is 2 sub 2. Master, well, like I said, the Buddha, he's 2 sub 1. It's pretty obvious. Master DK, in my impression, all I can say, my own impression, is 2 sub 3. And there are other masters of the other ashrams that will be 2 sub 4. You know, they'll teach through beauty. 2 sub 5. They will combine illumination and science together. 2 sub 6, the New World religion will be very important. 2 sub 7, esoteric healing will be very important. Those combinations are what you could learn about by carefully bringing together different qualities and just pondering on them. Get what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Kind of fun once you start.
Good. Thanks, Michael.
Okay, Vera. Yeah. You asked the question. When I saw that question, I said, oh, my God, you know, so this is not an easy question. And I'm holding off just a little bit on doing the same thing that Joe asked. Now, what about the wisdom side when you combine them? Maybe another time. But I don't want to just be tedious and keep on, you know, sort of reading like a book here. Okay, I'll do that at some point. So Vera, you have asked your question, right? Correct. Okay, other thoughts, friends, other questions, and any members of the faculty that would like to speak to what I've just gone through, please feel most welcome to offer some thought. You know, everybody has their specialties and their areas of interest and focus, and so I welcome your thoughts at any time. Okay. Right. At any time you wish. Okay. Yes.
I got my hand up.
Yes, good for you. Okay.
I just wanted to say that when I first took the PIP 2 years ago, 3 years ago probably, I found that your combinations of the soul and personality were very helpful to me. And as I took the Tara, which I need to go back through and take again, I also found that the information in there and the combinations and the way that you presented it was very helpful. I was trying to rush through it, though, and you guys clearly say on there that what you need to do is take it, read it through, and then meditate on it before you go back and answer the questions. And so that's one of the things I still need to set the time aside to do. But I did want to say to those of you who are thinking about it but haven't got to it yet, I found exactly what you've just gone through here to be quite helpful in both the PIP and of course, this was in... You had it in Tapestry of the Gods, which is a wonderful book, but the PIP manual also had a little more condensed version of it, and I loved that 6 or 7 page table that went through the soul and personality combos.
Yes. That's the fun of it, you know, to see how things combine to make reality. I've got here somewhere, I've got a table that's also found in the Tarot test. And, of course, it's a monadic table. And, you know, I try to essentialize the whole idea, you know, like a 1 sub 1 would be the pure destroyer, destroy obstacles to pure being. A 1 sub 2, direct all with wisdom. A 1 sub 3, rule with resourceful intelligence, and so forth. Now, actually, you'll be able to study this whether you go to the PIP or not, because or to the Tarot or not, because when you get this video, all you have to do is freeze the screen, and there it is, you see. So here are the 3 major monadic types with 7 secondary monadic rays. And I've tried to essentialize, epitomize these things. Of course, look, you know, DK says, it is not yet for a man or the human being to know his ray. What does he mean? Maybe he means the monadic ray, or maybe he means any ray. All we can do is have the estimation based upon an observance of our behavior and our inner process and what other people tell us about what they observe from us as well, because oftentimes we may not see ourselves as clearly as someone else does. Now, they could be also laying their own trip on us, and we have to be careful about their projections, but at times they can tell us things about ourselves that we may have overlooked or do not suspect at all. So I've often thought, what would happen if I had my wife take the PIP for me? Okay, you know, as a matter of fact, I think I once did this with a friend, and I read the result of it, and it turned out that I was a fanatic after all. Now, how did that happen? The sixth ray was so intense, and at the time I thought I was pretty fourth ray, you know. So the sixth ray turned out to be how they saw me, and it did give me an extra insight into some of my behaviors. So if you take the PIP, you might be interested in having someone take it for you as if they were seeing you and deciding what you did, and it might be a very interesting contrast. I think it'd be a lot of fun, you know. So we should try that sometime. So thank you, BL, for your thoughts on this. And like I say, Rick and I have worked hard to take the whole energy system from the top to the bottom and help you assign rays to the energy system, but you have to have patience. It is a process. It will take 3 weeks. We give you meditations for each one of the sections, and we give you reflections afterward, and you cannot rush through it because then you'll be dissatisfied later. So it's a question of patience and brooding and pondering. I recommend it to you, but take PIP 2 first if you haven't done that. Okay, that's my plug for the tarot.
But like you said, though, you know, you go through all the different vehicles, so it also helps you. And again, you did this in Tapestry of the Gods, but I think it's much better presented now in the Tara test.
It's condensed, yeah.
It is, and it makes you realize more that, oh, that's right. If I'm looking at the mental, I only need to look at these things here and how I'm working them. If I'm looking at the physical, these are the things I need to concentrate on.
Exactly, because it's so easy, you know, for us to want to pull in the whole kitchen sink. You know, we need to use the laser-like focus of the fifth ray, and we all have it, you know what I mean? The mind is the fifth principle. We all got a lower mind. It's conditioned generically by the fifth ray. We need to focus on that thing and that thing itself and try as much as possible to exclude the effects of the other rays which are there. And later then, Vera, you know, we would put it all together, you know. We take it apart, we put it together. So the analysis, that's why it's called tarot, the last word is analysis. We analyze carefully, then put the whole thing together in a synthesis. Okay, well, thanks, BL. Thank you for your thoughts. Other questions, friends? Other questions? Just be whatever, other comments, questions, whatever you want to say. Any faculty member, chime in, you know. I want to be friendly and inviting, okay? Say whatever you want. You know, and we can always use it as a point of departure, right? Okay?
Victor?
Yes. Victor, go ahead. Victor, please. Yes. Unmute yourself up there by the green box. You see how to do it, Victor? Or did Victor have his hand up?
Yes,
he seemed to have his hand up. He seemed to have his hand up. But sometimes, you know, we were doing a faculty webinar last night, and the people, every time they wanted to put their hand down, they put it up, and vice versa. So I don't know. But if you have something to say, Victor, you're most welcome to say. Anybody else that would like to ask a question, just, you know, join in. Just we will see your hand definitely, you know, if you put it up. And if I don't see
I had myself muted.
Yes, you did. Yes,
you did. You hear me?
Okay. You hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay. The question was on doing the PIP. Is the Tara include the PIP now, or do I take the PIP 2?
Well, you take the PIP 2 first. PIP2, yeah, PIP2 can take you an hour and a half. Not too bad. Maybe 2 hours if you're really, really thoughtful. You know, Tara will take you 3 weeks.
Okay, but they're not included. They're not included.
They're not, well, you know, basically it's all on a donation basis, or and you know, in terms of the money involved, it doesn't have to be money. It can also be an act of service, or you can help in some way in connection with the Federation or the university, or you can perform an act of service. We call this sort of an alternate energy exchange. So first comes the PIP2. You get that. You get your results online, et cetera. And then on the sidebar, on the right-hand side, is the chance to go to the Terra. And you can do that directly after you've taken PIP2. So in a way, it's all on the same website, but they are two distinct approaches. And it might be well to take the it's necessary to take PIP2 first and see what it indicates. Now, of course, what I'd like to do is give a seven-ray seminar. You know, the seven-ray seminars, when you're there in person with people over 2 or 3 days, you get to see how they talk, their expressions, how they use their hands, you know, their gestures and all that. Because the physical part of the rays is very important. When you look at the face, when you look at the form, you're seeing a whole lot more than just the physical ray. You're seeing an overlay of all these subtle rays as they work out through the physical body. So I do like to be able to see whoever I'm working with in the form of a seven-ray seminar. We did a little bit of that this time at the conference. On the pre-conference sort of advancing seven-ray seminar group. And all the people were there. We did physiognomy for the rays and astrology. But I'm thinking of ways to do these things over maybe the GoToMeeting format, and then we can all see each other. It might be possible to do. But suffice it, yes. Am I lost?
You know, Eva is doing a follow-up student seminar next week on Sunday, which involves looking at the vehicles. And it might be possible if there were a couple of guinea pigs. I know Francis was able to be on the video cam. It might be useful to have a couple of faculty on the video cam who are willing to share their rays in the vehicles, because as you said, it's useful. And the second thing is the live streaming recording will be up from the conference at some time. Is very useful. The live streaming was excellent in terms of helping understand.
Yeah, thanks for that suggestion, Joe, because after all, we did have the people there, and they talked about themselves, and we looked at their physiognomy, and maybe a little bit of their PIP and all that. So, great, yeah. Please tune in with Eva Smith, what is it, next week?
Sunday.
It's Sunday, a week from now. Tune in with her and see what that's all about. And look, you know, this question of the rays, it can go on for years. With your astrological chart, you know what it is. There's no problem. There it is, okay? There may be missing planets, but you know the general idea. With the rays, it's much more subjective and much more maybe difficult to see, and astrological factors get into it, and they confuse you. You know, like you could be an Aries. And people think, well, you're necessarily first ray, but you might not be first ray. The first ray can be coming through Aries. You see how it goes. So we have to combine astrology and the rays together. And Eva's doing a really good job with that. She's already done two, right? And this is the third. And then study with BL, who is working on the labors of Hercules. So we understand the major psychological, spiritual task of each one of the incarnations that we may have. If you have a rising sign or sun sign in the particular sign that's going to be studied, let's see, BL, when is the next Labors of Hercules coming
up? It's going to be on 1 June.
Okay. And what are you going to be studying? Gemini?
Gemini. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Oh, well, you're actually coordinated with the time. All right. That's excellent. Excellent. Yeah, so that's my answer, Victor. There are two separate tests, and they are sequential. And one is a lot easier and quicker than the other. But the other, the next one requires deep pondering. And think, you know, you're going to be over your life, if you stay with esotericism, for years and years, you're going to be asking, what are really my rays? So you might as well have the concentrated experience of the Tara to help you get a handle on that. It can save you time in the long run. That's my impression. Okay. Other thoughts
okay,
or
you.
Suggestions?
You answered my question.
You bet. You bet, Victor. Okay, you bet. Okay, other people who might like to say something, comment on anything, any member of the faculty, whatever, please feel free to join in. You know, the occultism is endless. Okay, Vera, you have another question. Go ahead, please, or thought.
Okay, so it's one of the questions which is troubling me, and sometimes I'm despairing and have heretical thoughts about the hierarchy. So the spiritual hierarchy, as I understand, in the Atlantean times, they were openly functioning amongst people. Yeah? Spiritual
up to
hierarchy.
A point before the Great War, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Then they withdrew, and for thousands and thousands of years, there was no open manifestation. And then, so it seems to me like, and now, there is a great urgency for this externalization again. And
yes.
Like, it's yes. It often feels like everything is put now on us, sort of humankind, suddenly call on them and evoke them and acknowledge so that can speed the process. So that's my trouble.
Well, you know, it's millions of years. I think many energies were misused in Atlantean times. The possibility that human beings could be initiated in those days evoked a big response from the Black Lodge, which tried to stop all of that progress. So the war was, well, let's just say that it seemed that as a result of the war, the Kurukshetra of the time, that the hierarchy had to withdraw, but not entirely out of touch, because via the mysteries that were still being offered, they could be contacted, and individual disciples could contact them, but they were not walking openly and directing humanity, which had to be left to its own devices to develop its own intelligence without the distraction of the superpowers which had been misused, disturbing the whole elemental basis of life on Earth. So there was still a connection, very definitely, because the humanity is never left alone and without access to the sources of love and wisdom, but it was a more subjective thing, and it was for those who could begin to approach the process of initiation. Now the timing has come on our planet for the emergence of the fifth kingdom of nature, just the way the fourth kingdom of nature emerged 21 million years ago. And for that reason, and because this is the seventh sub-cycle of Aquarius in which the seventh ray is present along with the Aquarian energy, the opportunity to manifest the Aquarian hierarchy is present. Because Aquarius is the sign that rules the spiritual hierarchy above all. You know, like Taurus is the new group of world servers, Aquarius is the hierarchy, plus the seventh ray, plus Uranus. So now, because of the planetary timing and the end of a great age of 250,000 years and the end of a greater age of Pisces, a 25,000-year Pisces, and the double Aquarius influence, one of 2,000 years approximately, or 2,500, and one of 25,000 years approximately, everything is lined up. So the hierarchy is needed in a manifest position to bring through the second ray soul of our planet. And the symbol of the reappearance of the great second ray Christ tells us about the emergence of the planetary soul. So yes, there's a lot put on us now, but as souls we have been preparing a long time, and we are equal to this task, and in terms of planetary timing, it's the right time, because our planet is passing through a type of fourth initiation preparatory to a major second initiation. So the great energy of love is being released, and the agony that we've all gone through is supposed to have its fruition by opening the heart of humanity at the first initiation of humanity. So it may seem like a lot, but the timing is correct, and we have to participate, if we are aware of these things, in the best manner possible, according to instructions from the hierarchy itself via DK and other teachers of that type.
So, yeah, I forgot. I was looking just at one thing, because I thought that it was just the hierarchy's itself decision, but I just realized that everything is connected with the higher entities and reasons. Yeah. And so, yeah, they are part of the whole thing. Okay, thank you.
That's it, Sanat Kumar. It's the time. It's the time for the opening of the planetary heart and the emergence of the secondary soul. And hierarchy is representing, in a way, the soul of the planet, the secondary soul of the planet. So they must walk with men again, and the human beings are ready for this. There are disturbances. I remember DK saying, you know, he who was Confucius will again appear in the midst of the fourth root race, as I suppose China, and it will create a disturbance. You know, and sometimes he talks about disturbances from the point of view of the personality and the soul. From the soul's point of view, it's just a little disturbance. From the personality's point of view, it is appalling, he says. So we may find ourselves in the midst of apparently appalling circumstances to make this transition, but we're on our way to much better things. So if we just have to stand it and stand firm and stand in spiritual being, only that, only that. Okay, Vera.
Thank you.
You bet. Any other questions, friends? Any other questions or thoughts or comments? Yes, Yvonne. Yes, go ahead, please. I saw your hand up, Yvonne.
I took the PIP test maybe PIP test maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Now, how is that too long to take the Tara? Do I need to retake it?
You just go right into the Tara. But sometimes it's interesting. My friend James Davis, who's another Ray researcher, you know, he has a test called Self-Search, and Jim and I have done a lot of talking back and forth. And I think I took the Self-Search 20 years ago. But just the other night, I took it twice. I took it twice in a row just to see whether there would be much variation in my responses if I really concentrated. I think the second time I concentrated even more than the first. So sometimes it's interesting because, why? Rays change. Now, the soul ray changes only rarely, maybe once in the course of, if it changes, once in the course of 25 million years, perhaps. So there are certain laws of transference, you know, like the seventh ray will go to the first. The sixth ray soul will go to the third ray of the second ray soul. The fifth ray soul will go to the first ray soul. The fourth ray soul will again go either to the third ray or the second ray. So the soul ray can change, but probably if it does change, it takes place over a period of lives. But the personality ray, now this can change, especially towards the latter part of your life. If you're in the last third of your life, you may be coming into that personality ray and have it established, which will be the personality ray of your next incarnation. There can be changes of emphasis. DK is always talking about changing the emotional ray. Basically, he's saying if you have a first ray emotional body, it's supposed to change either to a sixth ray or a second ray. And if you have a sixth ray emotional body, generally, he counsels the change towards the second ray. So under the impress of astrological influences, over time, even over 4 years, there can be changes, ups and downs in the ray emphasis. Maybe your soul ray is emerging more. Maybe your personality ray is subsiding. Maybe a legacy ray from the past is subsiding. So it's interesting sometimes to see what, you know, what's happening 4 years later. I also took the PIP again recently because I just wanted to see how it would compare with what I did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, what the changes might have been. So you don't have to. No, you don't have to. You can go right into the Tara, but sometimes it's good to retake PIP 2. Rick and I are working now on PIP 3. And we're doing evoking some statistical analysis to help us understand which are the best questions. We did that with PIP 1, and we had an improvement after statistical analysis, and we made PIP 2, and now we're going to do the same and better for PIP 3. So, you know, you can just go ahead with the Tara if you like, but I think it's interesting to retake.
Thank you. And if we have time at the end, would you go over explaining the symbol again, the Moria Federation? I know you went through it, but I got about 50% of it. And I have one more question. Is there any decision where and when are the next Seven Ray conference is going to be?
Well, you know, we're kind of looking. My impression is that it will be in the same place with a greatly increased internet. But we are also looking at other places in the Phoenix. So we'll be in Phoenix. And we are looking, and right now it's scheduled for about April 1st, so more or less the same time it was this year. We are looking at some other times, and we're still investigating that, but I don't want to be taken too literally here, but I do think it will be in the same place at more or less the same time, and the subject will be the Seventh Ray. And we'll know within a couple of months, you know, exactly where and when. It will be. We've been there 12 years already. It is the end of a cycle, in a sense, but it meets our needs in many ways, and especially, you know, there's new management there, but they'll get used to us, and we'll get used to them, I think. So we're still looking, but my guess is I know it's in Phoenix. I think it's going to be in the beginning of April, and I think it's going to be in the same place. If not, it will be in another place. But it will only be in a place that's suitable, suitable somehow.
Thank you so
much.
You
bet, Ivan. You bet. Okay. And Victor, did you have another point? Did you raise your hand there? Or was it just one of those hands that went up? You did. Okay, go ahead.
No, I did. You brought up a point that I'd like to ask about this transference from the sacral to the throat. I sense that I have a problem there. What could I do to take away or unblock that transference from the sacral to the throat?
Well, probably, you know, one would have to look at your horoscope carefully, but I can just make a general answer. Creative sharing of thought for service purposes. The throat center, that's the first transference to occur, but it continues on and then solar plexus to heart and so forth. It's a question of correlating the energies of Uranus and Saturn together and putting into form your thoughts in writing. So in a way, even studying with the Moria Federation and another esoteric school is part of that transference. And then when you offer it with the power of the heart to others in an illuminating or teaching capacity, then you come closer to activating the throat center in service, which will place an automatic draw upon the sacral center. Also, make sure that you use the imagination in a constructive and wholesome way so that what is visualized does not encourage the energy to stay down there, but actually lifts towards the enactment of the plan. You have to use the imagination wisely. You have to speak. You know what I would suggest doing? Go to a page, it's a treatise on white magic, and I hope I can more or less get it here. Is it 473? I'm going to just give it a stab here, okay? 473, let's just see. Yeah, here it is. These are called the 15 councils, at least that's what I call them. And it shows how to use speech and thought to work towards adeptship. And he says, okay, this is all, you know, it seems so easy, he says, these things, and the learned aspirant is not so interested in these matters. But if you follow these things clearly, it will lead you toward adeptship. And it has a lot to do with the right use of speech and thought, which will automatically, if persisted in the field of service, lift the sacral energy constructively. And that's what I could say in a general sense, without looking at your horoscope, actually. So go into white magic, and on those pages, use your imagination in a constructive, plan-oriented service, and write, and convey your knowledge to others in the written and spoken word. And that will help, I think. This is not an easy problem, you know, but, just get into the service act, and it really does help.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you bet, Victor. Any faculty member would like to say something here? Please, you are most welcome to join in. at any point here. How are we doing? Hell, we're just about at that hour and a half, aren't we? We're just about there, aren't we? You know, the whole question, what did DK tell us to do? All right, let's go into Treatise on White Magic. So this is one of the very first things. He gave us these four pieces of advice, and then he explains them. And you probably run into this before, right? Inquire the way. That's the very first one. Obey the inner impulses of the soul. Pay no attention to any worldly consideration. And live a life which is an example to others. Each one of them difficult in its own way, and maybe even the last one the most difficult. But the very first thing is about inquire the way. So learn what questions to ask yourself. You can also ask other people as well, okay? But the answers that come from your own higher nature are the most important. So formulate the question. Use the fifth ray to clearly formulate the question, because that is half the job. A well-formulated question will evoke a suitable response. So it's really worth reading this thing here on page 583 and 584 and following, what it means to inquire the way, and what it means to obey the inner impulses of the soul and pay no attention to worldly considerations, even of the best and wisest of the worldly-minded people, and then live a life of example. It's just a few pages. But this is what we are doing. And in these webinars that we are having here together, we are actually inquiring the way. We are working, in a sense, with the group mind of everybody present, because even if you don't say something, the minds are at work. We're trying to work with the soul-infused group mind. And the answers will come, and the light will increase, and we will see, and we will be led into the mysteries following this Mercurian method of inquiring the way. And then, of course, fulfill all the others as well, and it'll take you your whole life and more. It's okay. You know, we're all learning. So these are four very practical pieces of advice. And if they are done wisely, then we achieve a spiritual success, which is really alignment with the plan and expression of the plan and service in the brotherhood with hierarchy. Okay, is there anything else, friends? Anything else? Anything else? All right, well, if there isn't, you know, obviously we could go on forever here, but, you know, we don't need to do that. Every once in a while, I will offer these sort of general question and answer things, and I'll be backed up by the faculty, so in case I make a real blooper, they'll correct me, and you'll have the chance to ask anything you like. You know, it's a little bit risky, anything you like, well, heavens, it could be anything, but we can relate it all to the ageless wisdom, which gives us that vision and perspective upon life, which we all need. And then go to Eva's webinars, go to BL's webinars, and you'll get important supplementary information on the rays and the astrology of your labors in any one incarnation. And we'll keep this going and expand, I hope, our webinar offerings. So why don't we all, is there another question? Joe, yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to add that we will put a response on the student forum about the healing, radio tour healing, and Constance had offered in a message the resource of the Agni Yoga Super Mundane, and there are links that we'll put on the student forum to that material.
Yes. Those are wonderful books. You know, I was studying that with Daniel Enton when he and Edgar Lansbury were translating it in New York. So every couple of weeks we'd meet in the Agni Yoga Society, and they would bring in a new papers from the Super Mundane that they were translating at the time. You know, they tried to simplify a little bit of the writing of Helena Rorick, because she was basically doing the earlier translating. So it's a marvelous book, and there are so many in the Agni Yoga series. It's really part of our studies, definitely. We try to bring that all in. So let's, what we're going to do here is we will just say the great invocation together. But what I recommend, is that you do it silently within yourself, or put yourself on mute to do it, because otherwise we're going to get that cacophony, you know. In other words, we can't possibly coordinate everything together. So this is the great invocation, and you know it. So just put yourself on self-mute, and those who are not on mute, just whisper what you're saying, or at least not into the, in other words, more internal. And I'll say it aloud, and we'll go with that. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, thank you for being here. Study hard, write your papers, write your reports, get your final projects in mind. It's all worth it, you know. I wonder how many thousands of years Master DK studied in order to become the way he is. So a few years of intensive work of this nature cannot hurt. And in the future, for the real esoteric schools, there will be a drastic entrance examination, and you will be well prepared when that time comes because of your work here. Okay, so just want to say goodbye to everybody, and you can unmute yourself if you like, and you can say goodbye to the whole group. I'll tell you what, staff, you can help us unmute everybody here. And just
I can't hear Michael anymore.
Yes.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for your attendance.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks,
thank
everybody.
You.
Thank you.
Well,
bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Those are classic. Those farewells are classic. All right. You all have a good time, and we'll be seeing you soon, one way or another. Bye.